Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you subscribing, write a review, give us all the stars you can give us, and of course, watching the content wherever you stream your video content as well, to see the beautiful faces of Carter Augustine and Allie Trost and the old gray hair of me, your host, Nate Bucati, as we've got different locations today as well. This is an exciting show because it is the eve of the MLS is Back tournament. We are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon, and tomorrow night, fingers crossed, we are going to have MLS Soccer Orlando City and Inter Miami. Now, might not have all the games we were supposed to have tomorrow night. More on that in a moment, but it is upon us. We are at the doorstep. And as you can see, Carter Augustine is somewhere there are palm trees for his backdrop. A little disappointed, Allie. No palm trees in your apartment.
I should have pulled an Andy Reid in his press conference today with the Tommy Bahama shirt. It would have been a better way to show my excitement for the MLS is Back tournament. Floral, beachy action, but I'll save that for like when games actually get played and Sporting's actually on the field.
Yeah, if I were to pull an Andy Reid and wear my best Tommy Bahama shirt, that would be literally my only Tommy Bahama shirt. So that would be my best.
But that's Carter, one more than I have. So
He's going to grow that collection here soon. He's talking about that gray hair. I think that comes with the territory.
Yeah, you know what? It sounds kind of nice right now. I'm not going to lie about it. The older I get, the more that warm, muggy weather does not bother me. So I actually kind of wish I was down there in Orlando right now. But there you are, Carter. So let us set the scene. Our Sporting Kansas City insider, Carter Augustine, you're going to be down there in the bubble for the duration of this thing, hopefully all the way to the end of it when Sporting plays in the championship game. Tell us about your trip down. When did you arrive, and what has the process been like since you got there?
Yeah, it's been a pretty smooth process, really. We traveled Sunday morning. First of all, the fans came through on Saturday, I'm sure everyone saw, and gave a really heartwarming send-off. And the players, it was a surprise for them and the coaching staff. Honestly, it was fantastic. And I've always loved Sporting KC fans, and they've always done so great. So I don't know why I expected less for some reason, but they really blew it out of the water. So I want to give a huge tip of the cap to everyone in the cauldron and every Sporting KC fan that came through on Saturday. That was awesome. They drove the new cauldron bus through, blaring music. There were a bunch of really cool signs hanging out the windows and on cars. They got really creative. The players absolutely loved it. I remember one Johnny Russell painting was on the side of a car and came through, and you hear the big way from the players. It was awesome. So honestly, that was a really cool experience to be at on Saturday morning. Josue, the president of the Cauldron, came out and gave, I think, a really well said message to the team. So that was awesome. And then Sunday, we left about midday. Pretty easy, quick flight. Nothing to complain about there. Flew from the KC downtown airport, got into Orlando about 2.5 hours later, straight into testing. And I was surprised at how quick that went. I think Peter Vermes said that as well. We got in there in and out pretty quick on the first day. And then you're required to stay in your room until the test results come back from that first test. And that went pretty quickly as well. It happened before I woke up on Monday morning. It happened around 7:30 a.m. or so. So I woke up to a text saying, we are unquarantined. We're good to go. Everyone was negative on that first test, and been off and running ever since. Got to train yesterday night, or Monday evening, I should say. And of course, the rain showed up at that point in time, as it seems to just want to do here in Orlando. Kind of a more of a regen session for the guys ahead of Tuesday. Today was a day off, and went out and played some golf. That got interrupted by lightning. I'm very frustrated. I was playing kind of well, so been a bit of a whirlwind here. But gotta say, so far so good in terms of all the amenities and facilities that I've seen.
Yeah, Carter, that was something I was able to ask Vermees about in his press conference on Monday. With the rain forecast every single day, there's a chance of some sort of thunderstorm or rain. So sorry it interrupted your golf game. Definitely more important that it stayed away for that versus the actual soccer. But I'm curious, how normal does the bubble feel? How, like, what would you compare the experience to?
Ooh, it's kind of like a summer camp, but like a, I don't know, weird summer camp, right? I guess when I was going to summer camps, I couldn't really leave the colleges or whatever I was staying at in that sense. So it does have that feel to it. I was talking to some of the players, and they were talking about this, that when have all the teams been together? I don't know if it's happened, to be honest. Most of the time for preseason, they split up. So there's one in Florida, one in Arizona. So, I mean, Arizona gets a bunch of teams, but not close to the amount of teams we have here. I got to think the percentage of teams all together has to be the biggest since the league contracted back at, 20 years ago. So it's an interesting thing seeing all of the different teams, the staff and the players walking around the halls. I got to see, Ilya and Diego Valeri ran into each other in the halls, and I walked past. Obviously, they were in the All-Star game together 1 year, so they are catching up. It's been interesting, and it's tough to compare. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but it does feel like a little bit of a summer camp vibe to it.
And I should point out that here coming up on the show, I failed to lay out the menu for you. We're going to have Gerso Fernandez on the show here in just a little bit, so we'll get his perspective on the bubble as well. You mentioned running into guys in the lobby, and some of the things that we read. Look, typically when you go on a road trip, you share a room with somebody. The broadcasters share rooms. The players have roommates. Are you guys in your own rooms? And are you discouraged from hanging out with your own teammates in the rooms? Or once you get in there and pass the test, is everybody kind of allowed to hang out together? And how much do you actually run into guys on other teams? Because they make it seem like they're trying to keep everybody kind of, quartered off on their own floors.
They definitely are. There isn't, and it's masks on when you're outside of your room. We all have our own rooms, which has been pretty pleasant. I know the guys are pretty excited about that.
By the way, pleasant for Carter because he doesn't have to wake up early in the morning and listen to me do a morning radio show every day. That is what he meant by that, Allie. Don't think for a single second that wasn't a shot at me, because it was. Anyways, go ahead, Carter.
Also, let's not forget Tim Melia in all of this, because as we heard from Benny Failhaber a few weeks ago, he tends to sleepwalk. Maybe not the most pleasant roommate to have in those situations.
He's in a safe space down here. Sleepwalk all over. I've actually got a nice, I'm pointing on the camera. I've got a nice view here.
Oh, wow.
I know. Beautiful. Yeah, right over the lagoon with the fake beach. There's a creepy seal statue. But my room's pretty good. I've been enjoying it. I know our videographer, Jake Smith, his view is, he said he has got one tree just right in front of his window. So he doesn't really have, he didn't get the good room there. So I'm glad that was me instead of him. But yeah, to your original question, Nate, I know Peter Vermees has been kind of implementing the policy of don't hang out with other teams. Keep it all insulated, especially for now, which we just got here. We're seeing positive tests from Nashville and FC Dallas. So he was stressing that, hey, just keep it in-house for now. People are required when you're outside of your room to have your mask on all over the complex still. I'm wondering if that will be relaxed at some point once a bunch of tests come back. Maybe we're here a couple weeks, but for now, it's masks all over the facility. So it seems to be that they're keeping teams separate for the most part. And I was a little, once I heard we were on the same floor as Nashville, I was kind of wondering what that situation was going to be like. And especially when you have to consider Jimmy Madronda and Adrian Zendejas are on Nashville, so they have a lot of friends still on the team. But we've been told to just stay away from them. And there's actually a pretty large partition between the two wings. So we haven't really run into them at all. Most of the interaction with another team or staff is just on your way to the meals down on the lobby, or on your way to get tested. You see people kind of buzzing around the main lobby.
I was going to ask, because after seeing a couple of reports that Sporting and Nashville were on the same floor, I think the biggest question was, well, how close are they? Is it, you know, a decent separation? So that's good to hear. But other than that, how much interaction do you feel does happen? Like, how frequently are players perhaps at risk of running into other players and getting exposed to a team like Nashville, who's had a rising number of COVID cases and are really the only team that have had as many cases that are still in the bubble? As we know, FC Dallas pulled out of the tournament. So they, after upwards of 10, I think, positive COVID tests, they're no longer putting others at risk. But is there a big risk in your mind with Nashville still being there? And is there a level of concern growing amongst other teams and players with no COVID cases?
It's interesting, because you do see reports coming out, you know, of players having concerns all over the league. I would say, just from Sporting Kansas City's perspective, for the most part, it seems like they're pretty comfortable and confident that if the team stays together and keeps within their own bubble, that is kind of like you maintain your own, right? So, I wonder if the tournament progresses, if there will be more hanging out between teams. But for now, it's just bumping into him in the hallway, saying what's up for a little bit. You have your mask on, you're talking. But then in terms of hanging out, that's just only within each team, as far as I'm aware.
So, you know, there's so much to cover here when it comes to this. I think that one thing to point out is, and I have to tell myself this out loud as much as anybody else, there's a tendency when you get on social media, I spend a lot of time, maybe probably too much, on Twitter reading updates, because that's your news feed these days. And all the news that comes out is going to be bad for the most part. The biggest news is when there are positive tests. And I'm not going to sit here and act like it's good news that one team has already had to be sent home and another team is darn near close to that outcome as well in Nashville, having their game pushed back that was supposed to be tomorrow night. I'm not going to sit here and act like that's good news, but you don't really, if things are going normally, like what you're painting for us is a picture of what seems to be a pretty stable situation. You got a nice view out of your room. You're isolated with your own team. You have your own room. Things seem to be pretty nice and smooth. So we don't see any headlines about that. And you have to remind yourself that part of it does still exist, even if there's negative news. And another thing is, if any of us thought this was going to go smoothly, I think that's a farce. I remember having a conversation with Benny Failhaber when this thing first got announced, and he said, I hope there are problems. I hope there are issues, because we as a sports world are going to need to overcome some of those issues and figure out how to problem solve them. And if we're one of the first teams and leagues back to doing it, then we might be able to provide a bit of a roadmap. I'll give you guys an example. The players pushed back on getting down there early, right? Because understandably, I'm not criticizing them whatsoever, they didn't want to be stuck in Orlando for 2 weeks longer than necessary. But what we're also seeing is, you get into the bubble, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm reading, pretty much they believe all these cases that have been diagnosed down there were acquired, you know, these people contracted COVID before they got to the bubble. It's probably going to be some time before we really have a sense as to how tight the bubble is. And if guys get spread, like you said, do they start to feel good enough after a week or two down there that, hey, we're in the bubble now, we're pretty safe, guys can mix. But what we found out is, because so many guys tested positive on a couple teams anyway, once they got down there, there was such a short window to then get them trained and quarantined and ready to play that it was impossible for Dallas, and it's causing disruptions in the schedule to Nashville. NBA, on the flip side, might say they're going to get down a little earlier before the games start. And the idea, if they have some things like that, they actually have some time to get it under control. My point is that we're going to learn some lessons from all this. Hopefully the problems aren't so big that they cause Don Garber has said he'll call the tournament off if he thinks that it's posing a threat to the vast majority of players or whatever. And hopefully we never get to that point. But I just wanted to kind of make those couple points, Carter, because the last point, when you hear players complaining about these things, some of that's word of mouth. What we've heard from a lot of guys, Diego Rubio posted on social media, Omar Gonzalez sent out the picture of the sandwich. those guys weren't even there yet. So there's still a little bit of that word of mouth type thing, you know, where it's like, well, I'm hearing this and I'm hearing that. And maybe there will be many more complaints coming out of Orlando as it goes on. But I'm hoping that a lot more guys are going to kind of have the experience that you've talked about so far, that it's a little smoother sailing for the vast majority. And yes, you're going to have your flare-ups here and cases there, but you guys will be able to keep going the way that it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have any trepidations coming down here.
Sure.
Especially with Orlando, the cases booming kind of right before everyone was set to come down here. And so I'm not going to, you know, look down on any of the reports coming out from guys that don't feel safe. You know, part of that is we really don't know the long-term effect of coronavirus. So these guys are human, and I don't, you know, everyone has their own experience down here. So I'm not going to say anything negative about that, but I did take comfort in the fact that, like you just said, it seems like the teams that are testing positive kind of brought it with them. And the process that they've implemented down here has made it so that it doesn't seem like we're going to interact with those two teams too much. And when you get outside of those two teams, I think it's just one test. I think a Columbus Crew outside of those two teams. So in terms of that, the percentage is actually, you know, pretty low from all the people being tested down here. So I think it's unfortunate. You look at, you know, what happened in Texas just before FC Dallas moves here, and you wonder if that is why so many FC Dallas players tested positive. There's a huge surge kind of right before they came down here. So,
if all of those, that big spike had happened just before, so they may have had the foresight to travel down a bit earlier for the purpose of quarantining and then being able to potentially participate in the tournament just maybe at a later date. The problem was just with the close time between travel and the first game, it was almost impossible to do that without pulling from the tournament.
Yeah, and a couple things on all that too, Carter. Dan Hunt actually from FC Dallas came out and criticized the government in Texas and said they opened up too soon, and he thinks that caused it. I'm not going to get into that speculation, because I also saw the report from Grant Wall saying that there were teams in Orlando that said, hey, you didn't take care of your business, FC Dallas. You know, tough luck, you got to get out. I don't want to get into that either, because I don't know what the behavior of those players were. We've learned that some people can do everything right and you can still get exposed sometimes. So I don't want to get into the blame game there either. And I do want to make a really, I'm sorry about this, but I want to make it clear. I hope I didn't come across as criticizing the players at all.
I don't think so.
For lodging those concerns, because like you said, they're human beings. And I also, I've got no issue with players like Carlos Vela, who have said that I'm going to stay home. I'm not comfortable with this. I think it was Aneta Manuha who made a statement today as well. And I've got no criticism for them. I'm just trying to – go ahead, Carter.
Cavallini in there as well from Vancouver.
Yeah. I just want to – you know, I also, on the same token, I guess I'm saying I hope we don't get too wrapped up in all of the negative that we can't see – we have to hear the sides of it too that tell us that, hey, maybe this is going to go okay. And I guess maybe that's me rooting for it and hoping for it. And it makes me feel better as a person that really wants to see this thing happen and is dying to call some games. Metaphorically speaking, I'm excited to call some games, I should say. It makes me feel good to hear your account of it so far, and hope that for a lot of the teams that it goes that way going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't spoken on like a few of the staff members from other teams that I've walked into in the hallways and just kind of chatted up a little bit. They've been here longer than us, and I know some of them are starting to get some cabin fever. So that's going to be a whole different can of worms. We're not there yet. We've only been here 2.5 days, but so far I do feel safe.
But on the topic of cabin fever, I thought this was interesting because Peter was asked about that on Monday and how he as a coach and manager plans to maybe prevent some of that cabin fever from happening before it does happen. And he says that while it is a concern, himself and the coaching staff are looking at ways that they can get the team out in a safe and socially distanced way to prevent some of that cabin fever that might lead to actions that wouldn't maybe fall in line with the protocols. Not that he's concerned his players would do any of those things, but just want to make sure that they're having as comfortable of a time as possible during a very unusual tournament and situation. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, that's something being accounted for.
Yeah, maybe more golf. Get Carter back out on the golf course. You know,
I want to finish the round. You know what I mean? I was playing pretty well.
Yeah.
I think we're going to a steakhouse tonight, so that should be pretty fun, actually.
Is that on property, Carter, the steakhouse?
Maybe. I'm not sure. So I would assume it is kind of part of the bubble. And last night, because today was a day off, we did some relaxing and carousing, played some card games and such in the player lounges here. So the guys were having a good time. I know a ton of guys brought their gaming systems. I did. I was an old man. It took me forever to get it hooked up through the hotel internet. I was calling and texting everyone, feeling worthless, but finally got it hooked up. I know it was actually kind of funny last night. I walked from the card room to get something from my room. I walked by three rooms in a row where guys were yelling at their video games. I started cracking up in the hallway. So they got the video game systems to keep them busy a little bit, but hopefully we get some more golf and hopefully maybe some other things in there as well to break up a little bit of the monotony.
Yeah, let's hope this bubble situation keeps everything in. Now that everybody's in there, we get the testing protocol, everybody that stays there is able to quarantine, and then understanding that there are people that are bringing things into the bubble, but that 90% of them we're being told are being tested as well. So hopefully that maintains that integrity of the bubble. And then, like you said, maybe people can resume a little bit more normalcy. Cause I'll tell you what, I am excited for this tournament. I really am. I'm very excited for it. And we're going to talk about, we're going to break down the game on Sunday night for Sporting Kansas City. We're less than a week away from SKC. And I'm excited to watch all these other games leading up to it. I'm almost glad Sporting's isn't right off the bat so we can watch some of these other games. We'll talk about all that, but we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Gerso Fernandez is going to join us, and we'll find out if he brought his video game system. He is, of course, the man with the golf swing after he scores goals, so I want to find out what his golf game is like. That's all straight ahead. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show, half in the bubble, half out of the bubble. After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and wherever you get your podcast. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, presented by Michelob Ultra. Find your fit. Our thanks to Michelob Ultra for signing on as our presenting sponsor of all of our Sporting Kansas City coverage on Sports Radio 810 WHB through the MLS's back tournament. So I'm talking Sporting Kansas City Show, the pregame show, the final whistle, our in-game coverage. Thank you, Michelob Ultra, for stepping up and carrying us through this as our title sponsor. We are joined now by a man who's always got the smile on his face, the happiest man it seems like in the world many times, the one and only Gerso, who is in the bubble, not in the same room as Carter Augustine right now, but in the same bubble. Gerso, how are you, man, and how is life in the bubble?
I'm good. First of all, thank you for having me, Nate. And being in a bubble is just like, it's the bubble, you know? We actually got to go play some golf today, but I think after that, it's going to be just trying to take care of business, you know?
Gerso, we heard from manager Peter Vermees on Monday, and he gave you and the rest of the team a lot of credit for how well you and the guys prepared both mentally and physically, really staying in it even during very unusual times over the last 4 months. How are you feeling now that you're down in Florida, ready to go, the games this weekend, going into this one mentally and physically? How is Gerso Fernandez feeling?
Oh, yeah, I'm more than ready to go because we have been working since we started quarantine. We have been working so hard that we feel so ready to start this tournament and do our best to get where we can. And since we are here, of course, we are a very competitive team and we want to do the best of it all.
Sure. So just want to get back to the golf real quick. I got to see you on the driving range a little bit. You got a nice swing. Reminiscent of your goal celebration, how'd you play out there today?
Hey, like my teammates were saying to me, Jerso, you look good, but you don't play good.
I can relate to that.
No, but yeah. So I told them, well, if I look good, it doesn't matter. So people will think that I'm good until they see me swinging.
Who did anyone impress you out there with their golf game?
Yeah, so I think I was with Bisler and Zeus. We were three together, and both of them were pretty good. So I wish I had someone that was more on my level, so we could be like, I wouldn't look as bad. But Bisler and Zeus, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
So I should have been down there with you, Jerso, because then I could have, you know, I could have played on your level. That sounds about where I'm at.
Hey, you invited.
Yeah, you got to get invited into the bubble. Carter got the invite, not me. So let's talk a little bit about the preparation before you got down there, because you mentioned it. Sporting Kansas City always seems so buttoned up with everything that they do, and Peter organizing the training sessions all the way back to when you guys were doing the individual training sessions. It's tough to be prepared for games when you haven't even had any like preseason games now to get warmed up for this, but I got to think you guys will be as prepared as anybody. How are you feeling in that regard? And what was training like getting ready to head down to Orlando?
So yeah, like all of us know Peter, and we know how he likes things to be done. So if he tells you that you need to do this way to be better yourself and to help the team, you will do your best to do that. And it's what everybody has been trying to do, you know, working hard, very hard to be ready for this environment, the temperature, the humidity, all of that things that will be playing against us. We got really well ready for it. And I think everybody worked really, really hard to be this moment and take it home.
Sure. So I don't know if we even got a chance to talk with you on this show after the group stage kind of schedule came out and you found out who you'd be facing in these next three games. Minnesota, Real Salt Lake, Colorado, some big rivals. What was your reaction to finding out the schedule, and how excited are you to play against such a big rival in Minnesota come Sunday?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot, especially because at least in Minnesota and Colorado, we have Ike won't be here, but at the moment I didn't know. So I was kind of like decided that I would have the chance to play against him again. And Diego from Colorado, it's always extra motivation when you know that you're going to play against some of your friends that used to be your teammate. Yeah, that will be exciting.
So one thing we kind of talked about a little bit is, you know, you we're down here in the bubble. It's a different experience for every person. And at the send-off, I got to see Jake Smith, our videographer, say goodbye to his wife. It was pretty emotional. And then I saw you saying goodbye to your wife and GJ. What was that experience like and coming down here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The thing that I told Amy was, I hope that we never have to say goodbye like this again, you know? Like, going to preseason is something, because you know you're going to be there for 2 weeks and you got to come back and then go back. And eventually, even in preseason, they can go and visit you, you know? But in these circumstances, it's just like it's very hard to be for all this time away from our families. And I talk about me, I know there is some other players, at least in my team, they're like Luis, which is from Portugal, and his wife was in Kansas too, so she's by herself now. So I know that I'm in a tough position, but Amy still have some help of family and friends. There is some other players that are like in a really tough position. So yeah, it's kind of hard for everybody, and for me since last time, and GJ now, I'm gonna miss his first birthday. I hold it so tight to not cry, because Amy cried so much, and I was trying just to support her and not both of us being crying. So yeah, it was very, very, very tough.
You know what, Jerso, it's okay to cry when those things happen, because that means you care. I mean, that means you have a big heart. And if it makes you feel, I don't know if this makes you feel any better or not, but I've got three kids and I've missed some of their milestones because duty has called, and I've been out of town with you guys for work and things, and it's not easy, but you make the time count. You know, when you get that time back with GJ, and you've probably had a lot of time with him the last few months, you make that time count, and that's what's going to matter. And let me give you a tip. I don't know, maybe you're already doing this, but FaceTime is great, right? You get to FaceTime, but if you get a chance, find some books that you can read to Jerso via FaceTime and read to him out loud while you're gone. That's one of the things that I did when we were down in Arizona with our kids. We did story time at night. Instead of just, you're just kind of looking at each other and waving and saying hi on FaceTime, it gives you some kind of activity to do. You know what? That's something you'll remember, and it kind of turns a positive spin on it, and you'll have a good time. And at least you guys have the technology to be able to see each other face to face while you're down there. You know, does that help a little bit?
Thank you. Yeah. That's definitely a great tip, because usually I just like, and we just FaceTime and say, hi, GJ, trying to speak with him in Portuguese. Yeah. But he is so distracted that he doesn't care that much, but reading him a book definitely, I think, will catch his attention more. Definitely. Thank you.
We'll have to mail you some books. We'll mail you some children's books down there so you can show him the pictures and all that, you know?
Jerso, I know after GJ was born and he was making his Jerso, I know after GJ was born and he was making his first appearances at sporting games, he was a bit of a good luck charm. Did you get to bring any sort of, you know, a piece of home with you as a good luck charm before the tournament kicks off?
Actually, I did not bring anything. I do have some letters from Emmy that she always writes me when she knows that I will be away for a while. So that's all I have here. But actually, maybe I will ask Emmy to mail me something like that, because that would be definitely something that would give me more power, more strength to go through this whole bubble thing tournament.
Definitely. I think that's a good shout, Jerso. And hey, the letters, that's pretty good though.
Sweet.
We flew in here this weekend. You guys trained yesterday. What was that? I know it was a light training, but did that kind of feel like a game week of training?
Oh yeah, definitely. We already get our minds ready for what's coming on Sunday. And today was the first day that we practiced. We got to be out there and get to know the field, how it's going to be, the weather. The weather was good. Hopefully the weather is going to be like that in our games. But yeah, we kind of like settle up to the field and the atmosphere and all of that. So yeah, we're good to go.
All right, Jerso, last question. Did you bring a video game system? Carter said he brought his and that he was walking up and down the halls. Everybody was shouting at their video game controllers. Did you bring a video game system or anything else to just entertain yourself while you're down there?
Actually, I don't. I'm very bad to video games. I don't really have any video game. I play a couple of them on my iPad, but that's it. Most of the time I spend watching stuff on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and that's it. But playing video games, no. I'm really bad at it.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
I like to watch cooking shows, you know. So there is one called the Great Baking Show. It's something like that. It's from UK.
Yeah.
So I like to watch that kind of stuff. It's I don't know. Sometimes you learn some things, and since I like to cook and all of that, so it's a good way to pass my time. Definitely.
I have one more question, actually. Who's your favorite Disney character?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I sprung it on you.
Honestly, if you ask me the movie, I would say the Lion King. But now Disney, I don't think I have one. So
Lion King's a good answer.
What's yours?
I'm a Goofy man through and through, man. Goofy all the way. Okay.
Goofy's good. Goofy's a solid pick. Allie, do you have one that's the top of your head?
I was big into Disney growing up, so it's hard to pick just one, but this girl would watch Pocahontas on loop like it was nobody's business, so I'll have to go with Pocahontas.
That's a good call. Yeah.
I always like the comic relief characters in the different Disney movies. I love the two little mice and Cinderella that run around. Cinderella. They come.
What was it? Gus and something else.
Yeah, Gus.
Gus, little Gus. Gus.
I think I'm going with Gus from Cinderella. That's my jam right there. So.
Yeah, well, Nate. I hear they have a ride named after him now. Actually, that's coming down to the. I'm kidding, but.
You know, my family and I were planning on doing Disney World this winter time. And we don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? Someday we'll get back down there.
Someday.
So, hey, Jer. So you're our favorite Disney character right now because you're on the property, and we really appreciate the time. And and best of luck down there. Hang in there, okay, buddy?
Okay. Thank you very much for having me. You guys stay safe, okay?
All right, there is Gerso, the man with the biggest smile on the team right there. And we will take a break. We will come back and wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show, presented by Michelob Ultra, right after this. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video content. And we are brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Find your fit. They are presenting all of our content at Sports Radio 810 WHB throughout the MLS Is Back tournament. Nate Buchady along with Ali Trost now. Carter Augustine had to step off in the bubble because he's got some responsibilities there. Let's give you some news and notes to try to keep you up on everything as it's rapidly changing from time to time down in the bubble. Number one, we know that one team has been sent home. FC Dallas was withdrawn from the tournament. The language there maybe was something of note because they didn't say they withdrew from the tournament. They were withdrawn from the tournament, maybe indicating that the league said, too many positive tests, you guys have to go home. Nashville, SC, and the Chicago Fire were supposed to play in the first day of action tomorrow night. That game has been postponed. Ali, I'll read to you from the news release from Major League Soccer. Quote, Major League Soccer announced on Tuesday that the MLS Is Back tournament game between Nashville, SC, and the Chicago Fire, scheduled for July 8th, has been postponed. The timing of the two other games in the MLS Is Back tournament have also been rescheduled. The Toronto FC versus DC United Group C game, originally scheduled for July 10th, has been moved to July 12th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time due to Toronto's delayed arrival in Orlando. As a result, the game between San Jose and the Seattle Sounders, scheduled for July 10th, will now be played at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The league confirmed that five Nashville players had tested positive for COVID-19 since arriving in Orlando on July 3rd. Two at the weekend and three more on Monday night. Four more Nashville players are currently awaiting further tests after receiving inconclusive test results. In conjunction with the club, MLS said that it will continue to evaluate Nashville SC's participation in the MLS Is Back tournament following the results of additional testing. Further information on when the game between Nashville and Chicago will be rescheduled will be announced at a later date. In addition to the five Nashville players, the league confirmed on Monday that 10 FC Dallas players and one player from a third club have also received confirmed positive tests. FC Dallas were withdrawn from the tournament on Monday. Testing results from the five clubs that arrived on July 6th, that was yesterday, by the way, as we're taping this, will be available later on Tuesday. So maybe later today we'll have those. We're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. So a couple games changed in terms of the scheduling and times. Another game pushed back indefinitely, and clearly it sounds like Nashville FC's on thin ice right now. As it stands, they're evaluating whether or not they will go forward in the tournament. One team down, possibly another one. Allie, your reaction to all this news from MLS over the last couple of days?
Well, Nate, it's interesting what we talked about at the beginning of the show with FC Dallas and the spike that was happening in the state of Texas, in Dallas specifically. Really bad timing, and Nashville's kind of in the same boat. I've seen so many videos of downtown Nashville, which, as you know, a huge tourist spot for a lot of people. And again, like you mentioned, you could be doing everything right, but just getting the wrong exposure to the virus, and you contract it, and then that can quickly spread throughout an entire team. So Nashville SC doesn't seem like a great situation. You would imagine that the outcome for them will be the same with same as FC Dallas, just given the very stark similarities between the two. I guess would also depend if Nashville would be able to put out a full roster, or if the league feels that the risk is now too high with the exposure that other players would have had to the players that have contracted the virus and currently are positive and in quarantine. It's just going to be a very interesting couple of days seeing how this first slate of games, this first weekend, pans out. If tests come back negative the following week and in the following weeks, it'll be a huge positive for the MLS's back tournament. But if they start seeing more cases pop up within different teams after the competition has begun, that's going to be I don't know how they handle that situation, other than Commissioner Don Garber calling the whole tournament off, which, as you mentioned, he would do if it got to that point. So a lot to be seen.
Yeah, and clearly they want to do everything they possibly can reasonably in terms of being responsible from a safety protocol standpoint to get this tournament going, even if it's minus a couple of teams. I would point out NWSL, one of their teams had to pull out at the start of their tournament, a much smaller field there, 8 teams playing there compared to 26. So the idea that you were going to have a team drop out, I think had to be a realistic possibility all the way along. And look, we've talked about the positive cases skyrocketing in Florida. That caused a lot of concern. Carter mentioned that a little bit, that it gave guys reason to pause, and certainly justifiably so. But this thing just keeps changing on such a daily basis that we're starting to see more and more states have increased numbers. Heck, maybe the safest place to be is in a bubble. Wherever that bubble is, I don't know, depending on how tight they can keep it and how well they can regulate things. It's certainly a tough call, and it's all unprecedented times. So we'll see where things go from there. And hopefully, with the Nashville and the FC Dallas situations are the only two real outbreaks that we have to worry about. And then this tournament can go forward from there. Certainly, it's not as easy as it is in other places. In England, they just tested their players and not a single positive came back. It's different right here in the United States right now.
What's reassuring, I feel like, with Major League Soccer and the protocols they do have in place, and this was something that I know Carter mentioned being impressed with, manager Peter Vermees talked about this on Monday, the speed of the testing process and when they landed and had the tests, and then before they even woke up the next day, already had those results back, all came back negative. Sporting's only real scare with the virus was one false positive that came up before the team departed on Sunday, and that seems to have completely been fine if this, second round or third, however many rounds of testing this has been for Sporting Kansas City since that false positive, if that one came back negative as well, it looks like they're in a really good position. And like you mentioned, maybe in the safest possible place, potentially, if all of the other teams are able to remain COVID-free outside of Nashville SC, and we'll see what happens there. But the other news and notes to include from Vermees' press conference on Monday, the big story there, everyone knew Felipe Gutierrez, the midfielder who underwent knee surgery recently. We knew he wouldn't be traveling, but Vermees confirmed that Andreu Fontas also did not travel with the team. He underwent a Achilles repair surgery for a persisting injury at the end of last season. That was in October. They believed he'd be out 4 to 5 months. And as we've seen, that might be a little bit longer, as Vermees didn't feel like he was maybe up to speed or to the point where they felt comfortable having him travel with the team.
Yeah, and not all the teams have actually only one team so far, I believe, has disclosed their entire travel roster. So that's going to be something interesting to watch as time goes on. Allie's referenced Peter Vermes' Zoom conference call that happened earlier this week when the team got down to Orlando. Why don't we go ahead and play some of that for you right now? You want to hear from Peter Vermes at all times. We're going to give you a chunk of it right now. This is Peter Vermes addressing the media from inside the bubble.
Coach, with just two of your players left behind and all of the challenges that you could have faced with players coming back and training and risking injury, how confident are you in the depth of your team going into this tournament should everyone stay healthy, whether that's with COVID and then physically as well?
The primary objective was to try to get the guys as fit as possible. I think we've done that. We also have done that, you know, relatively injury free. It's now trying to make sure that we start the first game fully fit, you know, up until this point. And really our focus is going to be the three games because they're what count to our league. Be nice to, you know, win the tournament, but first objective is to try to win the first three, because that's going to count towards our competition. I think that all the guys have been training really well. And I think that every guy that we brought is available for the roster right now. And I can't say that, you know, if we would have been in a normal season at this time of the year, I'm not sure if I'd only have two players out at this point. So we're actually in a pretty good place starting off this this tournament.
Hey, Peter, can I get just your observations of the restart in Europe and any lessons from, you know, play over there that you can apply to the restart here?
I think it was very evident that a lot of those teams weren't sharp. And I'm talking about more from a soccer point of view than fitness. So they weren't sharp in their game. For us, it's been trying to get the guys back into our model of play as quick as possible. And that is we've tried to play a lot of games. And I don't mean just 11v11, but a lot of small sided games as well to try to get the guys sharp as possible. And then the other thing is that you can see that there is, without the crowd there is this, there was a little bit of a lack of intensity in some of the games. And it's something that we're going to have to artificially manufacture for each game. And it's probably going to be different for each one. First one will have a little excitement. I think for a lot of the teams, I think that first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the first game that they play is going to be interesting because I think teams are going to have to manage that because it depends on how fast they come out. That could send sort of the message of the way the rest of the game is going to go thereafter because you could really tire yourself out depending on how hot it is. We're just going to have to be really smart on our end to deal with that and be patient to realize the game's 90 minutes.
Hey, Peter, real quick, how is the testing going on in Orlando? Is it just did they have it there and then they give you the results 2 days later? Or how is that working for you guys down there?
So we tested last night when we got in, somewhere around 6:30. The process was actually very quick. And I was expecting not to find out for all of our guys until later today. And prior to 8 a.m. this morning, we had all our tests back and everybody was negative. So it was process was really good. It was the results came back quickly. And, you know, it's good that all through this time period since we started, since we started individual workouts, we've had nothing but negative tests. And hopefully we can keep that streak going.
And everything's done on like, is the results and everything that is done on site or is it on an off location or
I do not think that the actual instrument testing of the samples is done on site. I think it's off site.
All right, so there's some of Peter Vermes as he addressed the media. Ali, as you said, look, if only things could go as smoothly for the rest of the league as they've seemed to gone for Sporting Kansas City so far, and I'm knocking on wood saying that because you never know where this thing's going to head. But to this point, man, the way that Sporting Kansas City has pulled things off, you feel like this thing shouldn't be a problem going forward, but that hasn't been the case for necessarily all the other teams.
And I think if you had to pick one thing that will allow the most successful team in this tournament to be successful, it's a healthy roster. And that means healthy players that aren't having to deal with the coronavirus, have no positive tests, but also from a fitness standpoint, players being at game fitness, you know, game ready, and not putting themselves at risk for injury and, you know, muscle strains, things that pop up when you are playing fatigued. And it seems like based on what Peter Vermees has said and the confidence that he's, you know, showing with how he feels about his roster at this point heading into their first game, it seems like they're in a very good position should no problems arise with the coronavirus to go ahead and be at absolutely full strength, whereas other teams maybe might not be in as good of a situation, at least based on what we've been hearing.
All right, so let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We are just a day away from the MLS's back tournament starting off. Back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, presented by Michelob Ultra. Find your fit. As one of the big questions, Allie, will be which teams are the most fit getting ready for this tournament? And I think it's going to be all over the map. I don't know. What level of soccer are you expecting from these teams as we get underway tomorrow night?
I've heard a few people that I've talked to say, and this includes players, they're expecting it to be a preseason type product, at least at the start. And as Vermees has mentioned, give it at least a couple of games. Give it till that third game to really see players and teams find that mid-season, and maybe not even mid-season, but even beginning of the season rhythm that they find about 2 weeks in. So I think that that's really going to be something to look at it in terms of, yeah, the product I think will be good. It's going to be a live action game. It's live sports. Everyone wants that back, but I don't think that the quality of it will necessarily be what we'd expect to see in July when teams are competing in the Open Cup, have already played a good portion of their season and are gearing up towards, you know, the finals and the playoffs and everything like that.
Yeah. And you know what? I've been watching some really entertaining games in the English Premier League.
Oh my gosh.
Now, they're a couple weeks in. Earlier today, Chelsea and Crystal Palace played a phenomenal game. And you and I both watching the NWSL, the first game right out of the chute was a really entertaining game. I think maybe my prediction will be off here, but I think it could lead to some really entertaining games, even if the quality isn't quite what you want it to be.
Yes.
Because a lot of times when you get to the end of soccer games and both teams are gassed, the game starts to really stretch and there start to become a lot more opportunities and breakaways and things like that, because teams aren't as compact as they are through the course of a game when they're full 90 minutes fit. It should be a lot of fun. Starts tomorrow night on ESPN. And then, of course, Sporting Kansas City with their first game in the tournament on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. There's going to be a limited watch party with social distancing on the pitch by invite and RSVP only for some of the season ticket members at Children's Mercy Park. We'll be calling the play-by-play from the press box there for the radio here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle right after. All of it presented by our friends at Michelob Ultra. All right, Allie, that's going to do it for us. For Allie Trost and for Carter Augustine and for Gerso, thanks for watching and listening on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show, and we'll see you next week.